$34.99 with Prime.
That's how much? How many come
just,
in there?
I just made that up. Because
okay. I'll look that up, Kyle. I'll look up adult diapers in a second. Let me see. Amazon. See, unlike you, Kyle.
I love how you were so against. Adult. All right, we're gonna air some grievances here, Joe. Okay. We're gonna air some grievances. You were so against Fall Guys being in the Game of the Year contention.
Uh-huh.
Because all these Fall Guy fans are going to flood the polls and make that the game of the year. While as you just added one of the best and most beloved Resident Evil games ever made into this PS Now list of games for us to play for the Road to Greatness in March. Some tomfoolery is going on. You're packing the court. I don't like it.
The Amazon brand, underwear for men, maximum absorbency, large. 18 count. One pack. $12. That's not a bad deal. If you really think about it now. Welcome to the Trophy Room Afterwards show. I am your host, Joseph, where Kyle and I have aired some grievances. Well, Kyle has. Kyle, you're selling this game more than I have. I just said Resident Evil 4.
That's all you have to do with Resident Evil 4, man.
I was literally just browsing the store one day because Brian Altano, I think 2 days ago, was like, this is one of the best games ever. And I'm like, okay, you know what? Let me see. If it's like $10, fine. But it was $20. I was like, ugh. And then I see next to it, PlayStation does a really great job. I'm like, also on PlayStation Now. I was like, that's a game I'll choose. I have no, like, if it wins, it loses, I have no attachment to it. But you're selling it. You're telling people, like, I want to see Kyle scared.
I was so looking forward to playing Enslaved Odyssey to the West again.
Depend real fit. Incontinence.
Are they plus size? For men. Right? Like, I'm not a regular adult.
That's right. Plus size.
So big baby adult diapers.
Let's see. We got Live Dry.
Are they stretchy?
I like that one. We got this one. This one seems like it'd do the job. Restore fit right. This is a pack of 80. So if you're really planning on shitting your pants, I think this is the pack you're buying. 59.70. Kyle.
Like, you said that like somebody goes up to their calendar, like, all right, from March 3rd to the 5th, I'm shit my pants. Let's prepare.
Listen.
And let's call grandma to take the kids. It's just me and you. We're shitting our pants at home for two straight days.
Listen, and you know me. I usually hate. Oh, wait, no, this one's medium. We need, I think large is going to do it. Let's see. Extra large. No, we're going to need XX. I know us. Okay, listen. And I'm not usually the guy that loves poop jokes. I think they're the worst and I hate them. But the way I delivered that, it wasn't like... It was literally like, oh, I found a good deal. No. Oh, this one's right up our alley. Yeah.
I also love how I didn't actually search for it, but you just messed up your Amazon recommend algorithm.
Exactly. I love it. Because, like, people, like, listen, if you want to take my phone and see the debauchery that has been at hand on this phone, that's on you. One wrong letter. That's one fair. Extra X added in a certain word is going to put you to somewhere you never wanted to be. But you're here now, you know? Kyle, I got a question for you, though. Because I wanted to save this one for the after show so we can actually talk about video games. Because now we have an MCU show, which, guess what? It's out probably on Friday, is our WandaVision show. Everything that has happened... And episode 6, and then we'll be recording our thoughts on episode 7. That'll be out on Monday. So no more entertainment stuff, okay? I want to get to the brass tacks, sets, video games.
Okay.
There's been a controversy at hand. And some fuckery afoot, for sure. I found this story at gamesindustry.biz. Pretty much talking about a bunch of developers, ex-Halo and Destiny devs, that want to make a war game. Okay, this game is called 6 Days in Fallujah. Okay, this game is layered in controversy because of how they're trying to handle certain aspects or not handle certain aspects of this game. So let me try to find the game industry.
The article.
Article at hand. Because I want to get the one quote that they said on this show. Because I really do think it's pertinent to what's at hand here. So this game originally was supposed to come out in 2009, produced by Konami. By the same guy as well. It got shit canned because of a lot of controversy back in 2009. We're fresh off of a new president. Iraq war is at an all-time disapproval rating. People are not happy that there's a story based on the most unpopular war in U.S. history, right?
Yeah. It was like glorifying war crimes, correct?
Well, that was people's concerns. Because it's like, why are you doing this? Because, again, yeah, the Battle of Fallujah, we did some fucked up things. For sure. Like, there's no even defense, like using white phosphorus on folks. Pretty much from the way I understand it through the history aspect is Fallujah is the bloodiest fight in U.S. history since like World War II. It is like some of the most brutal combat that would redefine how we approach combat. It's an intense 6 days and a lot of people, a lot of innocent folks, perished, right? That said, they announced this game and people have the same, or that they're remaking this game, or not even remaking it, that they're going to try to make this game again. Again, same guy, but now a different company, now with a bunch of ex-Halo guys. And at the same exact time, Konami has no part in this. It's a different group of investors. This game's supposed to come out in 2021. And when approached with, hey, how are you going to handle, not the other side, but how are you going to handle the Iraqi, the average day Iraqi person here? How are you going to handle the subject matters of us doing some really horrific things to these people, right? This straight from the title itself, 6 days in Fallujah, Dev. I don't think we need to portray atrocities. Now, I want to take that because that's just one quote. I could always say that and just walk away from it. But here's this full quote. We can't tell a story without telling the rest of it. Tam Tay says, that's the developer. We have to give players context to the story for why they're in the city, why this battle exists. There were specific things that led up to the Battle of Fallujah. And there are historical events, they're facts, they're not something that conservatives are going to say is good or liberals are going to think is bad, vice versa. Players need context to understand why they're fighting in the city, fighting those Al-Qaeda people. We are going to provide that context, but keep in mind we are going to try to provide, or we could provide that context without making a political statement or without any way disparaging the service of those men who actually were there fighting. So players cannot use ... This is his quote still. We're not going to ask players to commit atrocities in the game, he says. We are effectively sanitizing events by not doing that It's a rhetorical question he's asking himself. Are we effectively sanitizing events by not doing that I don't think that we need to portray the atrocities in order for people to understand the human costs. We can do without the atrocities. So that's a lot there. It's a lot to digest. And honestly, I was going to put this into the main show, but this story would take up a whole fucking podcast.
Sure.
Really would. And I think it's a good way of us getting really deep in it, because what this developer essentially wants is a brothers in arms, but in Fallujah, where you're going in to this band of soldiers. I believe they wanted like 6 soldiers, and you're in the eyes of them. You're in their perspective, and you're trying to survive 6 days in Fallujah, the battle, right? Kyle, with that said, they don't want to make it political. They don't want to do all the atrocities, right? A lot of people are upset at this. What are your thoughts?
I don't like the way they went about it.
Okay, tell me.
The whole, we're trying not to be political.
Right.
how can you not be political about this game? Mm-hmm. I don't even know what to say about it. Like, Fallujah in itself and the events that happen there, yeah, in its core, is politics.
Yes.
It's a war because it's politics. Mm-hmm. Like, we went there because politics. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you're trying to make it political and still, like, highlight these awful things that happened, but you're saying you're trying to say... I feel like this game could have been left on the cutting room floor. We don't need this game.
Right. Well, why don't we need it? Because one quote, he's just like, listen, TV shows got to do it, movies got to, sure, why can't we? Why can't this guy?
Man, I don't know. That is a solid question.
Yeah.
Why can't he, but...
Like, why does this feel dirty?
I think because you, as a video game standpoint, like, you are behind the actions. And yeah, I think that is, like, you are the one pulling the triggers. You're the ones firing the guns. You're the ones throwing grenades and doing all these things to other people. So you're a little bit more connected to the acts that are happening on screen. Whereas, like, a movie or TV show, you are watching it, but you're kind of like a passenger. You're not the one, like, actively making the things happen.
Right.
Yeah. Which, and I'm trying to find a good comparison to be like Spec Ops The Line comes to my brain, right, first and foremost.
A lot of people's like, that's always the first one of like, hey, look, this is through like an American-ish perspective. I have never played Spec Ops, but I know the twist. It's
heavy.
And
it's incredibly heavy.
There's a twist of like, yeah, you did all these shooty, shooty, bang, bang things, but here's the real outcome of what you've done.
Yeah, and it's heavy. I cried like a baby at the end of that game because it was... Whew, there's a lot there.
Yeah.
Very emotional. So I feel like we did have this game already in that. And that game didn't make me feel good afterwards because of those things. So.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're definitely right. I think the difference between... Games aren't movies, they aren't TV. They are a form of entertainment for sure, but you're in the perspective of that character. Like, you are not, you're getting their motives. You are the character. I think that's the thing that makes games so different and so special.
That's like, I don't play that Call of Duty mission. What, No right. Russian? I think it's called.
Yeah.
I don't do that. I can't.
No. And even, like, when I'm playing Hitman and, like, I'm shooting into the crowd, like, there's a guy and I'm like, where are these people? It's like, oh, like, I feel a little, oh, God, uh-oh, I shot a dude. Like, like, I'm not good, you know, whatever. Yeah. Like, it's not a good feel. And that's good because it looks like we have empathy and that's great.
I don't need to prove that I have empathy.
Sometimes I need to prove it to myself. Oh, I feel something again. But, like, I don't need... So I think the main problem here is the way that this guy is not selling the point of like, yeah, what did you learn of why this wasn't cool back in 2009? Because there's an argument of like, yeah, these things need to happen. Well, but like how? And are you going to respect, or sorry, these games should happen, which he's right. Like, honest to goodness, this game should exist because he has a right to tell the story he wants to tell. I don't need to buy it. I don't need to like it, but he has a right to do it. That said, like, he's not selling me on the fact that, like, he's going to take this subject matter seriously, because when we think of modern-day war stuff, we're thinking of Call of Duty. We're thinking of Battlefield, right? This oorah, like, here's the American, like, side of things. Like, there's this one meme of, like, every movie where it involves the U.S. military and the world's at stake, the world, it's just the United States and everything else just doesn't exist. Like,
and everybody else is the bad guy. No matter exactly where you are, everyone else is the bad guy.
And I think in a society where we are more culturally diverse and aware, it's like, to me, my problem is like, yeah, we're worried that this is going to be a Call of Duty shoot, shoot, bang, bang, where I'm shooting brown people. Tell me that this is not the case. That this is that there's going to be a feeling here. Because the other fear that I have is saying, okay, like looking at the Always Sunny, episode where they have like VR goggles on. It's like, I think they are even parodying the 6 Days of Fallujah game where they're US guys in Fallujah and they're like, you know, they're in this village or whatever. And like they're shooting civilians and stuff, or not trying to, like they get PTSD after this game because it was too real. Like you have to be careful with how you're handling it, and you need to give people reassurance. And I don't think they've reassured anyone that no, this is not a shoot brown people simulator. This is not a Call of Duty thing. We're trying to shoot. If they were just saying no. We're trying to go for a Spec Ops the line approach where we understand your concerns with Call of Duty. This is what we're trying to get at here. And we want you to, you know, we want to let you guys know that, you know, we tried our best to get, you know, Iraqis, perspective and be culturally aware of that and what effects it's had on them as well as the soldiers. Because when you're just like, I want to tell the stories of these guys I met, and that's great. That's awesome. But at the same exact time, you're also ignoring the fact that, like, what about the people that live there?
Yeah.
So, right? Because, like, you know,
with this new announcement of this game coming back, did it mention at all, are they... Is it pretty much the same game? Minus some sanitizing thing? Because, like, I looked up the Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
And this little bit is from an article back in 2009 when it was revealed. And Tamti, who I guess is the guy in charge, he describes the project, and this is from the 2009 version, whatever this was, describes the project as a meticulously recreated in-game version of Fallujah, complete with real-life Marines lending their names and likenesses, as well as recreations of specific events from the battle. It's almost like time travel. You're experiencing the events as they really happened. And here is what makes me throw up at this.
Go for it.
This is like putting these Marines up on the same pedestal of like NBA superstars, names and likenesses. Like they you shouldn't have glorifying real people who did real things and celebrating gamifying it in a way. It. Yeah, no, it's not a game. Real lives were taken. And the fact that you're using these real people and making them look like the real people and then use their names, I don't know if that's the case in this new version or not, but, like, it's fucking sick. It makes me sick.
Mm-hmm. And, like, and again, like, what's... There's so many questions that they don't have answers to.
No.
They haven't given, like, because, like, here's the thing. Honest to goodness. Because a lot of this is, like, some of this article, I will say... is a lot of it's like, you know, the Iraq war was bad. It's like, we could understand that this war is, we went in on false pretenses. We all know that. That's like, you could tell me that in the beginning for sure, whatever. But like, that's not the main issue that I have with this. My main issue at hand is like, what if you shoot a kid? Are there kids in this game? Is there like a kitchen full of people? What the fuck happens like that?
And
my real issue isn't even the atrocity part. Like, I know that sounds awful, so let me please explain. But like, my issue is not like, again, my issue is on the ground level. You don't need to tell me the Iraq war is bad. This is what we did to people, right? You don't necessarily need to tell me that. Because in the game, I'm assuming I'm going through a linear progression here. If I'm in the eyes of a soldier, none of that is apparent or clear or even in my rear view. So like, I understand that part. It's like, to me, I'm thinking this is like a Zero Dark 30. I know I said the atrocities. It very much does bother me what we did. But like, I'm thinking this is like a Zero Dark 30 type of situation here. So, my thing is, like, they could have said, like, we understand that there's atrocities that have happened. We'll make sure we'll handle that the best we can. But the story is a confined story about these six individuals and their story to tell. Mm-hmm. We understand that there's an overarching story that this war was set on false pretenses. And yes, we did some pretty shitty things while we were there. We understand that. but we hopefully could add this air of humanity to that that gets to show you the bigger thing here. But by saying, oh, this is not political, oh, we don't care about the atrocities or whatever, or portraying it, it's like, you're saying the wrong things.
Yeah.
You're saying them absolutely wrong.
Yeah.
You know? Like I just did 3 minutes ago.
Yeah. Like, you mentioned something that bugs me and why I'm so trepidatious with this, and I don't trust them to pull this off, even though I don't want this game I'm never playing this game. If this game comes out, I'm not playing it. But just like you mentioned, like, yeah, I don't want to be shooting kids, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what if they, in real life, they did shoot a kid, but in this game, they turn around, like, and make that kid have a gun.
Right.
And kind of twist things in their favor. Like, that is what's scary.
And that's my deeper issue, is like, how are you portraying the Iraqis? Because you're like...
Yeah, because back in 2009, another article with Joystick, this was taken from back then, is... again, he's doubling down. And that is, it's not about the politics of whether the U.S. should have been there or not. It's really about the stories of the Marines who are in Fallujah and the question, the debate about the politics. That is something for the politicians to worry about.
That's a shitty way of saying it.
We're focused now on what actually happened on the ground. How are we going to know you're going to accurately portray what actually happened on the ground?
Yeah, and as I'm piecing it together myself, too, it's like, how are we going to trust that you're going to accurately portray things on the ground if you're actively saying we're going to ignore things that are true in fact?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there you go. And that's how you've literally saw a door open in my mind. Like, how can we trust you there?
Yep.
Again, if you're not even going to give us a goddamn like paragraph of like, hey, we did some really shitty things that are considered literal war crimes.
Yeah.
People were hurt. If you're not giving the Iraqi perspective, and I'm not saying, oh, now I'm the kid with the gun. What I'm literally saying is just like taking that area of people and just giving them some type of layer of respect to their culture as well, because most of these people are not Al-Qaeda. They're just people trying to survive and they're very scared. And I think when we're trying to gamify things, I take a look at Call of Duty and like when you're in the AC-130 and you're just literally bombing towns, but they always give the pretense of like, this is the enemy base. So they're all fucking evil and they kick puppies on Saturdays. And they're like, oh, fuck them. Like this one's like on the ground floor again. Like, yeah, like if there was a kid there, and he's in the middle of this firefight, I'm thinking of my grandpa. Because that's what he literally lived through. Mm-hmm. And then, like, my grandpa would carry bread to soldiers, to the rebels fighting the fascists in Spain back in the 40s. And yeah, like, sorry, 30s. And so, like, yeah, like, are you gonna give my grandpa the gun? You know what I mean? Like, to serve what narrative? The thing is, like, what's the overarching narrative? And you're telling me there's no politics, but like war is innately political if you're getting this side of it. And I think and you have to respect the politics of it. And so like, it's easy to say, oh yeah, here's a World War II game. All Nazis are bad. Go shoot all a bunch of them. I could do the fascist man, punch him right in the square in the nose. A Wolfenstein, that's fair, right? Mm-hmm. But because they're so grotesque and evil, this overarching idea of Nazism, right? When you're seeing this game, it's like, we're the invaders, dude.
Yeah, we're the bad guys here.
It's just a whole lot of, makes me feel uncomfortable. And they didn't sell me on making me not feel uncomfortable. Like, you're going to take it with an air of respect. It's like, it's the reason why you don't see, at least I don't think, you see Vietnam games, right? I mean, we saw a level or two in Call of Duty, but like, again, that's something like false pretenses. We're there and like, it's a very, like,
was those that World at War, right? Didn't they?
World at War is, the Japanese theater.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, World at War is the Japanese theater. Which again, like, I think that's a problem of like modern day shooters because it does seem like, oh, we're in the Middle East. Russia's the bad guy. And. And we're in like, a Stan like country. And like, it's like, what the fuck are we doing here, gang?
Where patriotism runs supreme.
Yeah. And even like, again, and even some games like Call of Duty do handle these things, like, have handled this better than they have. And that's not saying much.
Yeah.
Again, like,
I don't want to actively root for something to fail.
But this is
This can never see the light of day.
Yeah.
Or if it does, I urge every single, and I'm fairly confident.
Right.
In every friend that I have made, and anyone that I know, that no one's going to buy this game.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, like when we talk about, as well, like a Call of Duty game, but going back to like Nazis bad, go punch him in the face. Like I remember there's some Call of Duty games where like you're fighting with the rebels and like, you know, the French, you know, resistance or the British resistance, whatever the case may be. Like, why can't we have something like that here? You know what I mean? Like, give the same era of respect if you're going to talk about, you know, fighting along the Rhine River with French, freedom fighters. If you're going to do the same with like Italy and the resistance that toppled Mussolini, like, why can't we do that here? Give those people the same respect, treat them like people. Does it seem like it? And that's what makes me so uncomfortable about supporting this game and these folks. So yeah, no, I don't like, I'm not buying it.
No,
absolutely not. Cause you have not sold me that you're going to respect the area and the people. And again, I can't stress this enough. Like, if you're not going to say, hey, we went in here on false pretenses, this is like, you could literally do that in the title fucking page, man. We're not telling you to spend 3 hours on this. We're not telling you to set up a scene in the Oval Office and give me a Reagan-like event like with W instead. Like, we're not telling you to do that. We're just telling you to give some respect to the people who fucking invaded, man. Like, that's it. I don't know. It seems like an easy call to me. It really does. But, and again, I could say so much more on this. So, bottom line for me, yeah, these guys, unfortunately, have the right to make this game. I don't have, you know, I have, to me, feel like the moral obligation not to buy this game or cover it after this. Mm-hmm. And that's not, like, what I've seen, man. There's so many games that tackle these things so much better. There was like one quote of like, nobody wants to really be in the perspective of someone who's a non-combatant. I'm like, no, I actually do. I think that would be fucking great. So you actually get to see like the actual horror of it and not romanticizing it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It does make me feel good.
On more positive things.
Yay. I'm sorry. This is a heavy one for a Patreon episode.
No, I'm glad we talked about this on the post show. Cause like you said, it could have been the whole main very weekly much, show. Yeah. Happy 22nd birthday to Siphon Filter.
Fuck me. Really?
The original game came out 22 years ago in 1999.
Whew, I remember playing that demo constantly.
God. That game case is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I love the neon green and the infrared so cool. And the night vision. Like,
do you think we'll ever get it again?
I hope so.
Do you think Ben's going to do it?
I hope so.
Do you think they're going to just do another one of the
Days Gone? I also hope they go back to Days Gone because I dug Days Gone, but I don't know. Ben is talented. And I think they deserve to not just be written off. They need. Right.
I mean, Days Gone sold about. Look, it's not like when I think of like the heavy hitters that was the PlayStation narrative driven games.
If we were going to do a tier list, fun. Days Gone's like at a.
It's on the bottom upper tier for me.
It's an upper B. I think, out of everything.
I mean, but like for like PlayStation franchise wise, I think it's on the mid to lower ish tier.
Sure. Yeah.
And even then, like all those games are still great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not a kill strain. I think it's a good 7.58.
Yeah.
Good fun time.
Yeah.
That said, man, I'd like a Siphon Filter game.
that demo, I would play a ton. I don't know if it was from like a magazine demo disc I got or like one of those Pizza Hut demo discs you would get with the pizza. Like, played that demo a ton in that subway station. Like, I can see where the enemies are. I remember hopping on the subway train, and I remember always getting knocked out by somebody up there because there was always somebody hidden. I remember the rectangular reticle of like to aim and oh man.
Yeah. No, you're telling me and I'm reliving. Again, it was in the PlayStation Classic, but that thing's an abomination.
Yeah.
What a mistake purchase that was on my behalf.
That I think I have it on my Vita. I think I don't have it on here. I think.
Shit. I still need to. They got to give us like some Vita emulation on the screen on PlayStation now.
Can I tell you what I want to I can't say that word.
Frivolously?
Yeah, like without like to spend my money. Like I have a ton of it. I want to get one of those. I think it's called a retro pocket. Retroid pocket. Where you can just put a ton of emulators on it. And
oh, the thing that looks like a Game Boy? Is it that
kind of? Sort of, I think. Okay. But there are some, like, you can put PS1 games on there and PS2 games. And just give me the entire PS1 library in that thing. I'd be happy.
I know there's one that literally, like, you could plug in Game Boy Advance, Game Boy Color games. And then you could just upload ROMs to it as well. Yeah. I forget what that one's called.
The one I'm thinking of is Retroid Pocket.
Retroid Pocket. Let me take a look at that.
It can emulate games for systems up to the Dreamcast and PlayStation Portable.
Really?
Yeah.
PC Mag. Oh, wow. It kind of looks like a Game Boy Advance, but square.
Yep.
Shit, that looks cool.
Yeah. Member of 61 Indie... MC Wright, he has one, and I've been meaning to ask how he's liking it. Because, like, if it works, and I could get Game Boy games, and PSP games, and PS2 games, I'm all in. Yeah. Or PS1 games, I mean. Like, yeah, I'm all in.
Oh, wow. Yeah, this looks cool. This really does look cool. Well, yeah, that said, we got, the last but not leastly, we do have the poll, Kyle. You really think Resident Evil is going to be winning it?
I think it's going to run away with it, and I don't want to make it sound like...
Is this my fault?
It's not your fault. I still love you.
This wasn't about me winning. I'm being like, I literally generally like, oh, this is a game I want to play.
No, and I'm with you. I've never played it. I want to play it fully. Okay. Like, I've played up to like the first village and got creeped out and backed out.
Okay.
I definitely do want to play it. It's not like I'm not going to play any of these games if they win. I'm not going to boycott the Road to Greatness in March.
Right.
It's just...
when you count the legal votes, it was Enslaved Odyssey to the West.
When you count the legal... Or Puppeteer.
Yep.
Or Alienation. But, like, they're all fantastic games.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh. Yeah.
All right. Okay. I did have one last thing I was going to say.
The girls will love watching me play Resident Evil 4 if that wins. they were sitting watching me play the controlled AWE DLC and were actively cheerleading and rooting for the monster.
Wow.
They're like, yeah, kill Kai Kai. Woo!
No respect in this house. No respect in this house.
No respect.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Kyle, I have one more question for you. Okay. I was disturbed by our friend Luke Roy. Wah. By and just completely disturbed is the right word. Pizza. How do you eat it, Kyle? What's the acceptable way of how to eat a pizza? A slice of pizza?
I'm more curious as to learn of different ways. Are you telling me there is cutlery involved? Because, oh, man.
What if I told you someone we know and used the respect used cutlery on their pizza?
Oh, man. You pick up a slice of pizza. It's got to be a New York-style slice.
Yep.
Deep dish is a different beast altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And you hold it by the crust.
Yep.
Fold and I know this might be a little controversial.
Okay.
I do the fold.
You do the fold that you could.
I fold it and eat it like that with one hand, like
that
a.
That doesn't sound controversial to me.
Some people don't like the fold. Some people like to eat it all in the flat way.
I mean, if you want to do the flat, I could respect that too. But if you're getting a fork and knife, because your hands are going to get greasy, you know,
It's a price you have to pay for food gold.
It's a fucking knife. How do you get to the cross of the fucking knife? Luke Lore does.
Oh, Luke.
He does look like the type, right?
I am not saying that at all.
No, you can say it. He looks like a he looks like an elitist. Oh, fork and a knife, I don't want the greasy cheese to get on my fingertips.
I mean, when he talks shit about Les was part two, then
oh, maybe. It's too much of a depressing. No wonder this guy has a fucking bib while he's having a New York slice. Oh, Gabe's too depressed. I want to only have fun and feel just jolly gee good times. Come on.
Is Luke's favorite pizza also Sbarro?
I mean, for a New York slice. Now, here's the thing. I think there is cutlery is acceptable at certain slices.
Okay.
Chicago slice, absolutely. There's no other way.
Yeah. You're, like, we're not animals.
We're not animals. There's no way. We live in a society.
Batman.
Oh my god, that was bad. Anyway.
I'm sorry. But, superhero stuff. Sorry. Yep, no.
Sorry. Nope. Out of here, Jared Leto. You creep. Yeah, like, fine. Sicilian as well. I'll give you a pass. A Sicilian slice, especially you got it in the middle. There's no crust.
Sure.
And I feel like, though, there's an exception to that rule. If you get an edge of that pizza, you eat it with your fucking hands. Like an
adult. I eat all Sicilian with my hands.
That is the only one I'll use a fork and a knife, Lori.
Okay.
Up until a certain, because it's a little unwieldy. It's not a good way to hold it comfortably, but once I get to the halfway point, yeah, it's hands-on.
Yeah.
It's just disgusting. How is this?
Man, fork and knife, Luke.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I know you're not here to defend yourself.
No, nah, he's probably not listening because he's a tool. Yeah. It's gross. Again, usually on Twitter when we're mocking each other, like when he'll do like, oh, I'm going to try to diss you and I'm also an English teacher, but I misspelled something real bad. You know, we give each other crap. We don't mean it. Other than I feel bad for those kids. I don't mean that. But when I saw that, and he's like, I don't feel bad one bit about saying it. It's like, you make me sick.
Wow.
You make me honestly sick. I'm going to throw up.
Oh, man. Oh, how will I ever financially recover from this?
I know. It's wrong. Gang, that has been the Trophy Room after... I was going to say after work, like it's Joe after work. This is the Trophy Room after post show. There you go. I'm your host, Joseph. Alongside me, the greatest co-host whoever is, whoever will be. Love y'all. Again, hopefully we see you next week. Yeah. Keep woods about you. And keep playing PlayStation.
Stay safe, Texas and Southern friends.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Love you.